Third and goal. Taylor crawling. End zone. Caught. Sammy Watkins for the Buffalo touchdown.
Hey, look at this. Quick play.
Touchdown. Strike. Far side of the field. It's the tight end Griffin. And he just waltzes in for the touchdown.
Now, I can tell you right now, they caught everyone off guard.
Four Wildcat formations in this game for the Bills. Here is Taylor trying to find the edge. Ducks inside the five. Lunges end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Griffin in motion, the tight end. First and 10. Boyer has time. Far side, he's got Polk wide open. Polk bangs off a defender. Lunges end zone, and he's in for the Texans touchdown. Taylor from the gun, third and goal, throws far side. It is caught. Robert Woods for the Buffalo touchdown. Boyer on second and 7. Looking right in Hopkins' direction again. He comes down and makes the touchdown catch. Second and 7 from the 40. Taylor from the gun again, has time. Delivers down the field. He's got Clay wide open. Into the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown. Massive defensive breakdown by the Texans. 40 yards on the touchdown strike from Taylor.
So, that didn't go so well. But hey, rock and roll. They're still tied for
rock and roll.
Let's get this party started, man. It's a Two Belows Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday.
It's on, Fred.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master back in studio, keeping us on air. Our buddy Aaron trying to keep us on air out
Aaron's
here.
Aaron's not even standing around here.
No, he's wandered off to try to, I don't know what's going
he's
on.
Talking to he's macking bitches.
Yeah, because all I know is Shannon gave us the thumbs down, and I couldn't tell if that was because she didn't like our open or if they can't hear us out here.
That was me asking if Bishop's Barrel 12 was available at Two Belows today, and I got the thumbs down.
I already asked that myself. Yeah. So anyway, if you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There is also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. And it's a Monday where some of you aren't in great moods because your team lost, but half of you are.
Yeah.
A little less than half because there's
less than
Texans
half.
Fans, but that's okay. How was your weekend, Mr. Hoffman?
Solid to super solid. Yeah, pretty good weekend. Although I worked on Saturday and I worked on Sunday, and when I do that, it kind of throws off, you know, like the feeling of having a weekend goes away.
Yeah.
But it's whatever, man. It's football season. We do this a lot, and going to watch football games at places isn't the hardest job in the world.
No, it's not.
So it is what it is, but
it's just the driving is all it is.
Because
hanging out there is great, but that's why I try to pick the ones where I can walk.
Right.
But I had an awesome weekend. I don't know who it was who called on What Are the Odds Wednesday and asked what are the odds I was going to get a personal record in my next 10K, and I said, nah, probably not.
But you did.
Mashed it. Absolutely mashed it.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see it coming either because my last two have been awful.
Yeah, look at you.
But did that, and then UH won, and then I celebrated throughout the day Saturday quite a bit to the point that I don't really remember Saturday night.
There
vaguely
you go,
remember
man.
Being a couple places, but had a great, great weekend, and just sat at home and watched football yesterday. Can't beat
there
that.
There you go.
Which started with watching your Texans.
Well, I guess that's as good of a segue as any.
Indeed.
On the bright side, the Colts lost, so rock and roll,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Rock and roll.
But not only did the Colts lose, they just got manhandled.
They did, but that's no surprise.
No, that's a tough place to go play, and the Colts aren't very good either, so it's kind of – although some of the teams that weren't very good early are really starting to play pretty good football right now, Kansas City being one of them, and it's interesting because I've been saying all along Texans need to go 4-2 down the stretch.
But we agreed this was a pretty important game for them.
It was for the wild card. For them, to realistically make the playoffs, they have to. They're going to have to win in Indianapolis,
and they have to hope that the Colts lose a game that they probably shouldn't lose, because this was the last game the Colts played where they're probably going to be an underdog.
Probably, but if you have to go into Jacksonville with Charlie Whitehurst as your quarterback, I don't know how favored you deserve to be.
I don't think they will go with Charlie. I think Charlie Whitehurst was in because they realized that game was over.
Hasselbeck was saying today he's not sure he's going to be able to play.
Really?
Yeah, so I think a lot can...
Well, when's Luck coming back?
He's pointing for the Texans game.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting, but to me, they have to win those last three games. I figured they would lose this one. I figured they'd lose next week, although... Jesus, if that Patriots team that we saw yesterday shows up, I think they could lose to anybody right now. But
they lost by a touchdown. It's not
they
like
lost
they got
by a touchdown
trucked.
By a horrible team, though. I mean, that is a bad, bad team.
Agreed,
they gave them 14 points. Same
punt return, blocked punt return for a touchdown. I mean, there's a lot of things that
which is the same thing
aren't going to happen.
Well, you say that,
too
but
often.
You know what? Special teams killed them against the Broncos, too.
That's true.
That's 2 weeks in a row. Now, they're not going to lose three in a row. I don't see any way of that. But... you know, I think it's the important thing is to win the last three. They do that. Hey, I can hear us now. That's awesome.
Hey,
well
now.
Done. Well played, Aaron.
It's a celebration.
You know what? He's proved his usefulness today. He already gets an A, unless we get knocked off the air or something, in which case we got to get rid of you.
I think the biggest problem for this Texans team is that the Bills were a team, and relative to what they've done the last several weeks where the Texans' defenses look fantastic, they've run into a bunch of teams that were willing to abandon the run and just chuck the ball around. And the Bills, and really any Rex Ryan team, is going to be more committed to running the football than your average team. And they just kept running and kept running and kept running. And when you effectively run against the Texans, I don't want to say it makes J.J. Watt useless, but it turns him into a mortal human instead of a pass-rushing monster.
Well, it turns him into an average player. And I think the fact that they were able to run the ball was because this defense was a flashback to what we saw the first 7 weeks of the season. Couldn't stop the run.
Right.
And then couldn't force turnovers. They had two opportunities for pick sixes that they dropped that could have changed the game. That's all stuff they were doing the first 7 weeks. And a lot of that was the Bills imposing their will on them, so I don't want to take away from that. But that defense yesterday was awful. And they got pushed around at the line of scrimmage with two backups on the right side of the line for the Bills. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, Brian Hoyer was not good yesterday. No, he wasn't good. He wasn't awful. And that's what he's been. I mean, it's not going to do any good to sit here and say, he's not elite. We know that. But he played well enough. I mean, they're going to score 21 points against that team. That's what they've been doing. I mean, that's basically what they've been. They didn't turn it over until the very end. Problem is, their defense was awful.
Well, and again, I don't want
to... And that was it.
The defense wasn't good, but it boils down to, if you go back through the last several weeks of the Texans football, you've seen the Saints abandon the run. You saw the Jets abandon the run. You saw the Bengals abandon the run. You saw the Titans abandon the run. I mean, teams have said, you know what, we'll try and beat you with the pass game. And
well, part of that's the Texans have been in the lead in all of those games with the exception of the Bengals game. And they were able to take the run away from those teams. They weren't able
to do
that
but
yesterday.
You agreed the Saints should have kept running the ball. The Saints quit on the run so quickly.
Yeah, but that's the only team that I'm going to look at and say, yeah, they gave up on it. The other guys, they took it away from them. And the Jets weren't able to run the ball, so they had to do other stuff. And same thing with the Bengals. Yesterday, they weren't able to take the run away from the Bills, and they paid for it.
John Simon had a terrible game.
He was awful. Kevin Johnson was awful.
I've said there's been some great things we've seen out of Kevin Johnson. He looks like he could be a good player, but I'm definitely not willing to say this was like a slam dunk home run draft pick yet. And yesterday was kind of another example of why he was not there yesterday.
I think the frustrating thing is he actually had pretty good coverage on a couple of those plays, but he couldn't make a play on the ball.
Right.
And that's the other half of it. It's one thing to be in position to make a play. It's another thing to actually make a play. And he's been hit and miss this year, and yesterday was certainly a miss. And the thing is, it should have been worse. And I can't emphasize enough just how awful that defense was yesterday. It was reminiscent of the Falcons game and the Dolphins game in terms of them just getting four possessions in the first half. The Bills scored three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. If Charles Clay isn't dropping a ball right in his hands. There's another 40 yards. You get a missed field goal. I mean, that the bottom line is they didn't show up yesterday, and part of it was, yes, the Bills, you know, the Bills are more physical. They enforced their will on them. But the Texans' defense was terrible.
The Texans' defense wasn't good, and the thing that beat the Texans, another thing that beat the Texans is, offensively, they did what teams have been doing against them, and they quit running the ball.
Yeah.
And when you've got 43 pass attempts compared to 26 run attempts, that's not enough balance.
No, and I think it's kind of a credit to them that they put the ball up that many times and didn't have a pick until the last meaningless play.
But they only had 293 yards.
No,
out of
they
that
did.
Too.
And Hoyer wasn't as accurate as he needed to be. Somebody's mentioned there were a lot of drops. There were, but most of those passes that were dropped were because the ball was thrown in a hard place to catch it. There were a few times where he threw slightly behind the receiver when he's going over the middle. That's a tough catch to make. And there's all kinds of
There was a time when Cecil Shorts got murdered.
Yeah, yeah. And he waited too long on that. I mean, if he gets rid of that ball sooner, then he doesn't get him killed. And I think that was part of it. I think part of it was Hoyer just wasn't all that accurate. But that's what he is. I mean, and it's hard for me to get worked up over that when I look at that offense and say, all right, if you give me 21 points, the defense is going to flip the field once and get me three. That ought to win the game.
And never happened.
No, it didn't happen because the defense wasn't able to stop him at any point. They played better in the second half, but they still didn't make plays when they needed to. And that was the killer. You had two opportunities for balls that looked like they were going to be pick sixes, and both guys dropped them, and that's the ball game. But they were outplayed yesterday. They didn't deserve to win that football game. I'm still fairly encouraged, though, because I think I didn't expect the defense to continue to play at that level that it has been.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
It was unlikely.
But you need them to do it against Indianapolis because you don't need to be at that level to beat Jacksonville and Tennessee. And that's really what it comes down to.
Would a game like they played yesterday, would that beat the Colts?
No. You've got to get more
prep. You've got to be better.
But the difference is the Colts aren't going to be able to run the ball on you like that. So I don't know that you're going to get the same game shape that you did.
The Colts will also have presumably a healthy Andrew Luck by that time.
Is that a positive right now, the way he's played this year?
Well, if you assume that he hasn't been healthy all year, I'd say yeah.
But then you're assuming he's going to come back healthy off of those two injuries in his first game back and be 100%?
I don't know if he'll be 100%. I assume he'll be better than what he was.
I think that's a pretty big assumption because when he came back from the injury the first time, was he better?
Here's the other thing. I assume he'll be better than they were last night.
He'll be better than Charlie Whitehurst. I'll give him that.
Matt Hasselbeck was bad last night too.
Yeah, well, I don't think it mattered.
He couldn't figure out the clock. I mean, they had delay of game penalties out the ass, and you can agree. You've seen the Steelers are on TV enough. That's not a good defense, and he made them look pretty damn good.
Yeah,
he's been great. That was his worst game by far.
Yeah, but there's not a quarterback in the league that's going to play every single game well.
No.
And we're talking about a 40-year-old guy, and they've milked as much as they can get out of him.
Yeah.
But I still don't know if what to expect out of Luck. If we get the Andrew Luck from most of last year, the Texans don't beat them. But I haven't seen that guy at all this year.
I still think Andrew Luck, whatever we see of him, he's better than Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, he is.
Andrew Luck
as
still
a player.
He's still the second best quarterback they'll see for the rest of the season.
As a player, yes, but Tyrod Taylor also had a running game that took a lot of pressure off of him and made his life easy. Andrew Luck doesn't have that. And you're talking about a guy coming off a major injury that they're probably rushing back. I'm not that scared of him. I mean, that's your best alternative. You want to win or lose with your best guy. Anyway, I think the music's been playing long enough. We should just go to break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The one positive I'll give those guys, and we'll do more Texans in the 5 o'clock because there's a lot to get to with that. But, at least they had a chance to win against one of their peers. They didn't go in there and totally get blown out. And I think it was because the offense actually did okay. I mean, the second half, I know they struggled a lot, but Again, if you tell me you're going to get that many points, I'm going to feel pretty good about it if your defense even shows up and plays half as well as it's been playing.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number. I do want to talk a little college because it all kind of played out exactly the way we thought in terms of you knew the committee was going to drop OU so that you wouldn't have an OU-Alabama matchup in the first round. And I think you've got the four teams that deserve to be in there. And it is interesting because if you look at it, everybody's pushing the top eight thing, and we'll look at it later. They'd be pretty good matchups, but I can't really argue. I can't really argue for anybody that didn't get in. You can make a case for Stanford, but
Can you make a case for Stanford over one of the teams that made it?
You can make a case for Stanford over Oklahoma, but I don't know how strong the case is.
I don't think it's a good case.
I think
Oklahoma won some big games down the stretch. I think Oklahoma played an SEC road game, non-conference.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma's deserving. They have a bad loss. But so does Michigan State.
Well, so does Stanford. You know, Northwestern is a good team.
Exactly.
But that's not a game where you go and get beat 16-6.
Yeah. If Stanford had one loss, there would be trouble right now.
Yeah.
You know, and there somebody would be pissed off, somebody would be sad.
Or if Notre Dame had one loss, I think
there
would be some trouble.
But I think realistically, Stanford still probably is left out. But
probably so.
But there's a lot more beef for them to fall back on. In this case, I don't think you can really bang the table too hard and say, "Oh, I can't believe they're not in."
Yeah,
because
you
lost two games.
It was clear who the four should be. My only beef with the whole rankings was UH being 18th. That's just a joke. I'm sorry,
but it's the highest.
It's the highest.
It doesn't matter.
No, but it just kind of goes to show that they hadn't that. There's somebody on the committee that's got a thing for them because they have, of all the non-Power Fives, they've gotten the least respect out of any of them. I mean, Navy got up to 15. Memphis got up there, and they're better than those teams. They beat them. They beat as many ranked teams as anybody in the top 25. I would have liked to have seen them 12 or 13. I think that's where they deserve to be, but it doesn't matter in the end. They're going to wind
right.
up.
Right, as long as they're the number one non-Power Five.
And they get, and you know what? They get a good matchup with Florida State. That'll be fun. So it's good for them. I mean, no matter what happened, they were going to get Notre Dame or Ohio State or Florida State. That's what you want if you're that kind of team. And you win your conference and get a big bowl, you want to play a program like that. So I thought it worked out well. I wish they'd gone to Glendale because I can't go to Atlanta. So
why not?
Legal issues.
I'm not what?
No. Honestly, I can't go on the 31st is a problem.
Oh, okay.
Because I've got a deal on the 1st that I have to be here for, and I was going to be able to fly out afterwards. But to go to Glendale, but I can't go. So I was hoping for Glendale. Plus, I like Glendale. And I, frankly, if I never go to Atlanta again, I'll be fine with that. I'm just not a fan of that city. But good for them. And that was a big win. And it was kind of unfortunate that it was all overshadowed by a bunch of knucklehead security guards.
Okay, I'll give you knucklehead security guards. Can I also give you... Stay off the field?
Well, we always say that. I mean, I'm with you, but if they're going on the field, why are you picking out one guy and letting 20 people go by?
I don't understand that. That's what I don't. And listen, if you're a security guard, you got no business hitting people. But at the same time, I don't know what their job description is. I don't know if they're supposed to, you know, stop as many people as they can from getting on the field or what. But.
Well, it was clear they had no clue what they were supposed to be doing.
No, they were not equipped.
Because in the one video, he sits there and watches two or three people go by, and then he goes and grabs this kid and starts pounding on him. I was like, what the hell? I mean, if you're going to grab him, just grab him and hold on to him. You know, but obviously those kids weren't feeling any pain even when they were getting beaten on. So, because they just kept going.
I don't get it.
I'm with you.
Were people who were getting after me on Twitter. Keep your thoughts to yourself. And which, by the way, if you know me, you know that's something I don't really do.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
And the other one was because I went to a school that doesn't have a football team. It boils down to I'm jealous that I missed out on the experience of being able to rush the field. So
no, because I've had opportunities to be a part of that too and have no interest in it.
Really? You're just jealous, Fred.
I must be.
But wait, what school did you go to?
The one that just won the AAC.
So you could have been there rushing the field.
But I wouldn't have.
But you're not jealous about that.
No, I'm not jealous about that.
Just curious.
Well, no, I get that for the most part, it was students, and all right, that's fine. You encouraged them to do it last week. It's kind of hard to tell them no this week.
That's true. But, yeah, who's rushing the field 2 weeks in a row?
Well, that's a thing.
Although, the day Vanderbilt beats Georgia and Alabama in back-to-back weeks, if they rush the field, okay.
Well, if you were going to do it, this was the week to do it, not last week.
Exactly.
And I said that at the time because
It would have been really super acceptable to do it this week, but it's completely ridiculous to do it last week and then do it again this week.
It certainly would have been understandable this week. You went in the conference championship. It's the first one since, 2006. It's only your third one in 30 years. And and you get a big bowl game out of it, and it's a pretty big win. I would at least listen to that much more so than I would have last week. But then again, people were telling us they were encouraging them to go out there, which I think is a big mistake too, but hey, whatever.
Well, especially now that you see the aftermath.
But isn't this what we always talk about, though, is how dangerous things can be if
somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Eventually. And whether it's going to be the guys rushing the field, it's going to be a player. I kept bringing up the Art Briles thing in the Baylor-TCU game where, like, drunk TCU guy was trying to fight Art Briles. I mean, this is eventually something bad is going to happen. And we've seen bad before. We've seen a guy in a college basketball game where he got hurt and it was like for a lifetime, like his life changed because of the injuries he suffered that day. I mean, we saw that at Oklahoma State when they rushed the field a couple years back and 13, 14 guys got really injured. Two or three of them were critically injured. There's the negatives far outweigh the positives when it comes to rushing the field.
Agreed. Yeah, and But
people like
I always say when you go on the field, you better not have an expectation that nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But this was still egregious, no matter how you look at it. And it made no sense how they were picking out on these guys. Okay, tell people about Pajama Green.
Oh, I can do that. What is that noise I hear in the back? Is that music?
It sounds like music.
I don't get it.
Either that or there's spiders crawling in my head.
Whatever. Guys, Christmas is nearing us. This year, go with the win-win. Give her something that's going to make her feel hot and it's going to heat up your holiday at the same time. That, as usual, I've been telling you this about this for a few years, the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram. Because let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. I know that feeling in my house. My wife's cold all the time, and it's definitely not easy to get her in the mood when she's cold. The Hoodie Footy, the ultimate solution, combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be hot and ready in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com, but it's not just that. They've got everything you could imagine from cozy to sexy right there at Pajamagram.com. Imagine getting to open a gift like this. You get to opt for the sweet and sexy gift set, which includes a Hoodie Footy and a sexy midnight fantasy pajama. Buy both today at Pajamagram.com, and you'll save $60. You don't have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Make it a Hoodie Footy holiday and tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, out here at Tupelo's, where you want to get out here for the game tonight, Cowboys Redskins, and they will have it on all the great TVs out here. And you know it's kind of a big deal because our important people are here. So Todd and Michelle are here, so we know it's important.
Oh, boy. And by the way, if you come by Tupelo's tonight, bring some unwrapped, unopened toys for Toys for Tots. They've got some stuff to give you for that. And plus, you're going to feel good because you're helping kids.
And that's always a good thing.
That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what else is a good thing. Getting a chance to talk to a Hall of Famer, a Heisman Trophy winner, former Dallas Cowboy Tony Dorsett joins us. And I've been looking forward to this. Tony, appreciate the time, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, I wasted the good setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only
problem. You're going to get a lame setup.
Yeah, it's like, okay, here we go. Tony Dorsett's here. Great. So, no, well, we'll hopefully have that sorted out in just a moment. But, yeah, so come on out here to two below. Are you ready now? Okay, let's try this again. Joining us now, Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, former Dallas Cowboy, Tony Dorsett. Tony, how are you, sir?
How are you, sir?
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
All right, this is obviously not working. Tell you what, let us know when this works, because crickets.
Yeah, this is an unsuccessful interview with Tony Dorsett so far.
Well, what would you ask him? Let's start that way, because I'll tell you what, you ask what you would ask, and then I'll answer.
Tony, as a Heisman Trophy winner and a voter yourself, as the season's come to an end, who are the guys who have impressed you? I know you have to keep your ballot private at least for a little while, but give me a few names that maybe you looked at this season of guys who stood out to you.
Well, you know I'm a running back guy.
That's right.
So I'm probably going to vote for a running back, but I love this quarterback at Clemson. That's who would get my vote.
Okay.
He's a dual threat, best team. He's the reason that they're undefeated. I mean, that's a good team around him, but he's carried him to new heights. That's my guy.
Now I would say, okay, Tony, that's great. Talk about the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys seem to not be able to win a game, yet everyone is still counting how many games out of the playoffs they are. At what point is it realistic to just say this is a bum season, we're going to have to wait till next year, or are you still holding out hope yourself as a Cowboys guy?
Well, if you win tonight, suddenly you're right back in the race. Do any of these teams scare you? The Giants can't beat the Jets. The Eagles had a nice win yesterday, but that team's a mess, and you're going to be a game back if you can just get a victory tonight. You lose tonight, I think it's time to run up the white flag.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you for the time. I would have mentioned what he's promoting, too.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and do that. He's out at Diablo Loco tonight on 6025 Richmond Avenue.
Loco.
And your chance to meet him, and you can take pictures from 6:30 to 8:30. And you can get there early for parking or valet for only $5. They've got a whole bunch of specials going on, so go check it out. All right, so is that good enough, John? Did we do okay? Awesome. So, okay. All right, well, that doesn't really surprise me. Let's just let's move on, shall we? 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776.
That is so awesome.
Did you read your text?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to pass. Oh, well. Texter says, I was at the game and took some flack from my girlfriend for not rushing the field.
No, tell your girlfriend you're a grown-ass
you
man.
Rush for a big upset, not beating a team that's lower ranked. That's true. I get why people would do it this week. I thought last week was kind of silly, and, of course, I'm just being called an old man for all that. But, you know. I wonder if what we got was, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a Tony Dorsett impersonator that was going around picking up women in Dallas when he was playing.
No.
Maybe that's who we got.
Wow. I was rather young when Tony Dorsett was playing. When I started watching football was like the end of Tony Dorsett's career.
Yeah. I was watching and I was into it, but I was still a kid. So
right.
I remember his 99-yard run against the Vikings. That was pretty cool. Frobius asks, what are the odds that Trump eventually says something so insane that even
it's
his
impossible.
Supporters belt? This guy can say anything.
It's impossible.
He nothing sticks to him. Nobody bails on him. He could say anything. He could talk about chopping babies into little pieces and eating them, and guess what would happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just because people don't take him seriously, and they kind of figure, like us. They don't take us that seriously. Very similar.
Yeah, I looked back to the first Super Bowl that I really remember like sitting down and watching.
Yeah.
Was Super Bowl 23, which was 49ers v. Ooh. Bengals. And Tony Dorsett retired, his last year was 1988. So,
okay, I'll tell you when I first started paying attention to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 23, by the way, was in 1989. So,
and you're going to laugh, but
Super Bowl -4.
No, I'll let you guess. Let you guess. Set an over-under on which one I'm going to say.
See, I feel like you weren't... I always feel like you're into things a little bit later than I would expect you to be.
Well, I'll give you a hint, though. My parents were both covering sports at the
time. I was going to say, but yeah, your dad was like big into sports, so you probably almost had to be involved in it in some way, or at least know that it was going on. I'm going to go Super Bowl 11.
Super Bowl 7.
Oh.
When Miami
should have gone older.
Miami beat Washington.
I knew it.
That was the and then the next year it was at Rice Stadium, and I was at the game.
Okay.
So that's when I really started paying attention. So Super Bowl 7, which would have been 1973.
1973.
I would have been 8 years old.
Oh, I was negative 7 years old.
So, but it's also weird the things that make you get into sports, because after Super Bowl 7, I had this thing with these buttons for each Super Bowl, like pin-on buttons that I had on the wall, and so I started collecting them for each one. I wish I still had that because it would be worth a fortune now.
Right.
But I have no idea what happened to it. Probably got probably disappeared in one
that
of
was the
horses.
So Super Bowl 7, that was the undefeated season,
that was
right?
The undefeated season, and that's why I remember it.
Okay.
And that's really the first one I can remember paying attention to, and then, of course, the next one I was at. And then after that, that's when those great Pittsburgh teams were going, and Oakland and Dallas, and those, that was a really cool time to be growing up and getting into football. And I guess Dorsett came along a little after that, but there were a few years there where I quit paying attention. It happens.
My first Super Bowl was, like I said, it was the 49ers and the Bengals.
That's a pretty good one for your first one.
And I remember that, and then that started the run of the 49ers being great. Like, they blew out the Broncos the next year, and then after that, I thought football, being a football fan, was so easy, because after those two Super Bowls,
yeah,
the next four were Buffalo Bills Super Bowl appearances. And
well, leading up to those, I mean, everything was a blowout until you got right around there, and then we had some good games for a while. But anyway, it's pretty sad that when we talk Super Bowl, it's all about stuff like that. It's never going to be about. Remember when Houston won? Yeah, because that's not going to happen.
No.
But you know what is going to happen? You're going to get out here to Tupelo's tonight, and you're going to enjoy the game. 2907 Rayford Road, easy to find. Come on out. And I'll tell you what, man, this place will start getting packed, so you want to get out here as soon as you can get in the car. And great food to choose from. The service is fantastic. Chip and his gang out here do a terrific job. And if you bring an unwrapped, unopened toy and donate it, we're going to give you some. How cool is that? Just for coming out. Come see Michelle up here, who will take care of you. But Tupelo's is just an awesome place. You want to watch the Rockets. You want to watch the bowl games. You got the NFL still. It's a great place to come and hang out. The staff here will take care of you, and they do a fantastic job. So come on out. 2907 Rayford Road. Check them out at tupelos.com. They got all kinds of stuff going on right now. They're doing the toy drop as well. They have daily specials all the time. And if you come out tonight, you get to see us. How cool is that? Well, you get to see AJ and Aaron. I mean, I'm here too, but you get to come hang out with us. So check them out at tupelos.com. That's Tupelo's, 2907 Rayford Road, Tupelo's Sports Bar and Grill, tupelos.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on The Blitz. The holiday season is party season, and we want to hook you up with a holiday party courtesy of Tecate and Tecate Light. Listen this week for your chance to win a Tecate qualifying prize pack and be entered into the grand prize drawing to win a holiday party. You and nine of your BFF coworkers will kick up your holiday heels at Taps House of Beers in the Heights on Thursday, December 17th, courtesy of Tecate and Tecate Light.
Tecate.
What if I don't know if I have nine people that I could invite.
I definitely don't have nine people I'd want to hang out with for an evening.
Yeah, so I don't. That's probably a good thing that we can't win this one.
Yep.
So, Aaron, what were you laughing at? I was laughing at something completely different. I was laughing at our guest snafu.
I don't know if I'm allowed to be laughing at it, because it is for a sponsor, but AJ's word choice of the way the wood tastes really makes a difference, or you're enjoying the way the wood tastes.
My goodness, what a child you are.
You want that barrel flavor on your whiskey, right, Fred? I mean, that's
all the time.
Yeah, of course you would say something like that. Yeah. You're such a pig, dude.
See, I want to note it for the record. Usually,
I learned from y'all.
You know what? We're going to have to take you back to school. We're going to have to start over because actually what you're supposed to do is get that bit that he said and then play it back over him when he says something else.
Yeah.
It's entirely inappropriate by doing that. So just, you know, a little lesson there.
Well, I don't have access to our audio retrieval system while I'm sitting out here at the bar with y'all.
Good.
Having fun.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, because that would be bad.
713-780-ESPN. One thing we haven't talked about is Will Muschamp getting the South Carolina job. Can I just go on record as saying
thoughts and prayers, South Carolina?
What the hell? How many times? I know college likes to get their retreads and give them another chance. This guy is not a head coach. He wasn't even a very good defensive coordinator this year. And, oh boy, you're all happy with that. Good luck, man. I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, he's a name, but I feel like we've seen enough out of this guy to know that this is not a winning proposition. Now,
I mean, if you can't win at Florida, how the hell do you expect to win at South Carolina?
That's a good question. Now,
just a simple question.
Now, here's the other thing. Wouldn't you say that expectations are probably not as high at South Carolina than they were at Florida?
I think they'd be happy with 8-4, but I'm not sure he's even an 8-4 type of coach.
Well, remember he did go 11-2 once there.
Yeah, right off the bat he did very well.
That was
first.
His second year. His first year he went 7-6
with other guys.
With
other guys recruits, and then they went downhill from there. And that is always a bad sign for a football coach. So, all right, good luck, South Carolina. I'm sure you're happy with him, and I hope it works out for you.
Yeah,
not so good as far as I'm concerned. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
He's got the pedigree you want. You know, he worked with Nick Saban. He's worked with Mac Brown. You know, he's worked with Tommy Tuberville. He's worked with some guys that you would think would put together a pedigree that would lead to some success. I just don't know if he's got it.
You know what? There's a lot of guys like that, though, that work with great coaches and they're good coordinators, like Norm Chow, that –
That's a good one.
Yeah, good luck being a head coach. When he finally got a chance, he was a disaster. I just – why a retread? Is that the best they can do?
Yeah. You and I have talked about what that South Carolina job is. I mean, it's not a –
But why not take a chance on a Lincoln Riley or somebody like that? At least a guy who hasn't failed as a head coach yet.
Yeah.
Joshua asked, did you guys catch John and Raheel's take on the Muschamp hire? I did not. So – I did hear a little bit of their show this morning when I was on my way to the park, but I didn't hear them talking about that.
No.
They were talking about something that
– They think it's a good hire? I hope not.
I don't know. I'm sure that – well, I don't know. I hate commenting on things when I didn't hear what they said.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I did listen, but I didn't hear that. And then I heard them going on about Rambo today when it was unfiltered, and I'm like, okay.
About – Like Sylvester Stallone Rambo
yes.
or Bakari Rambo?
Sylvester Stallone Rambo, not Bakari Rambo, who was taking people's heads off.
Pretty good game.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the safeties for the Bills and really the whole secondary. It'll be interesting to see how long Stephon Gilmore's out because that looks like
That's
a fairly
rough.
And they're
already without A.J. Williams. They've lost some guys throughout the season. And
although McKelvin wasn't awful yesterday.
But he's not Gilmore.
No, he's not. And that's one thing that's made them so good this year is those two guys are so good in coverage. And I think that was a must-win for the Bills. If the Texans were going to be in our legitimate wild card race, it was a must-win for them. And so Bills are alive. Texans are going to have to win the division now. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, the NFL standings are not doing any favors to the Texans.
And they're
but the Colts continue to.
And the finishing schedule for these other teams doesn't do them any favors either.
Right.
And obviously, if you're playing New England – then you can't realistically expect to win that game even after what happened last week.
The Bills have the NFC East left on their schedule. They've got the Eagles, Redskins, and Cowboys left and the Jets.
Yeah, and they have a tiebreaker over you now.
Right, and the Jets, who are now at 7-5, that's another team where, you know, when you look at these teams, just schedule alone, and I understand the Texans have a win over them, but they've got Titans, Cowboys. They do have a Patriots game too, but so do the Bills. So do the Texans, and then they've got the Bills. So you assume that the Jets and the Bills are going to win most of those games, and then the Jets and the Bills will play each other, and whoever wins that game is going to have a nice way into the playoffs.
What you'd be hoping for is that the Jets win that game and you wind up tied with them. But that, it may not matter because I don't think the Chiefs are losing another game. And so that's one wild card spot, right? Can we agree that it's unlike, even if they lose one, they're still going to be 10-6. You're not getting 10-6.
And their remaining schedule, Chargers, Ravens, Browns, Raiders.
Yeah. Like I said,
I'm willing to go 10-6, 9-7 at the absolute worst, yeah. And 9-7 is going to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say they're probably pretty safe for one wild card spot. And then the Steelers, who are also 7-5.
Got a big win last night.
Yeah, that was a big win for them. Now, their schedule's a little more difficult coming in.
It's split.
Yeah.
It's split on rough games and donkey games.
Right. Although a lot depends on who's playing for what win, too. That's, you know, that's going to have a little bit
well,
to do
with
it.
Well, but the Bengals and Broncos, those are the first two that they catch.
Right.
And then they get the Ravens and Browns late.
Right.
So, the Bengals and Broncos
in the next 2 weeks
are still going to have a lot to play
for. Well,
they're
all playing for the one seed because now the Patriots are the three seed.
So, basically, but if they win one of those games.
Yeah, they're in.
They're probably in.
Yeah. So, Joshua says, right coach. Raheel says they won't get that coach. Better jobs out there. Yeah, there's better jobs out there, but I'm always for let's go for the up-and-coming guy as opposed to a guy you know is already a failure. So, somebody says, isn't this week a must-win for the Texans as well? I don't see two losses on Indy's schedule left. Well, no, I don't think it is a must-win because I think the must-win is next week at Indianapolis. And then you have to – you finish off against – what's that, John? Sorry?
I heard him.
Okay.
But the deal is the Colts – the guy's right. You know, they don't – besides the Texans, you're going to have to hope for an upset somewhere along the way.
Yeah, but like we said at the top, if they're going into Jacksonville with Charlie Whitehead playing quarterback, there's a good chance they lose that game.
Whitehead or Whitehurst?
Whitehurst, excuse me.
Charlie Whitehead sounds like a garbage pail kid.
Yeah, it kind of does, yeah.
But
who is Charlie Whitehead?
I don't know. That's a made-up name.
I know.
But, you know, the Colts, like I said, they're going to be favored at Jacksonville. They'll be favored at the Dolphins and home against the Titans. You really need them to slip up somewhere because I think we're all kind of assuming that the Texans aren't going to beat the Patriots. If the Texans beat the Patriots, then...
You know what? Here's the worst part. Let's say the Texans do beat the Patriots. They lose to the Colts. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're right.
They've gained nothing.
But if they lose to the Colts or they beat the Colts and lose to the Patriots and the Colts don't lose again, it means nothing too.
Yeah, but I think, I think especially considering the quarterback situation right now, it's not too much. And you saw how bad that team was last night. And,
yeah.
And look, Jacksonville's not good. But third-string quarterback in Jacksonville, and that team almost beat you the first time. So we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And when we come back, we'll go through the rest of the games.